My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
Thank you, Mary. These are the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, trying to put words to what is happening in her life. She became pregnant. These are the words she spoke to her cousin Elizabeth just as she arrived. And if there's one thing we all associate with Christmas, it's singing, right? Christmas music. Maybe it all started with Mary. Worship and singing was always a core part of the Jewish experience. It's continued to be this important part of our gatherings ever since we became Christians. And where else do you gather with a group of people and sing? Really, think about that. You're not mostly doing that in your office or on a job site, are you? That would be cool, but I want to encourage you, no matter how bad you sing, no matter how horribly off-key you are, to sing. Sing louder. Go for it. Whenever you can, wherever you are. Especially when we're together. This is not a concert, okay? For those of you who don't sing well, you probably honor God more than anybody. There was this one woman who used to stand in front of, or stand behind me. She had the most awful voice, and it blessed me the most. The worse she would go off key, the more I would have tears come to my eyes, because it was like she was clearly not singing for herself or for some kind of pride. But did you know that singing is especially good for you? According to an article I read on Healthline recently, singing does all kinds of good things for you. First of all, singing relaxes you. It is scientifically proven to reduce cortisol. That's the stress hormone in your body. Whether you're alone or in a group, it relaxes you. Secondly, it stimulates your immune system to fight off illness, activating immunoglobulin A, whatever that is. Do we need that or what? Everybody's getting sick. Third, singing increases your pain tolerance. When you sing, it causes your body to send out these endorphins, which change your perception of pain. Fourth, it improves lung functioning and the amount of oxygen in your blood, which actually reduces all kinds of, or fights all kinds of diseases. Fifth, singing enhances memory in people with dementia or those of us with just lesser memory loss. Think about it. It sticks with you. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Anybody remember that one? Number six, singing helps with grief. One study showed that people dealing with grief who sang were less likely to remain in a state of depression. And seventh, singing improves your overall mental health and mood, your sense of belonging and connection, because it releases this neurochemical called oxytocin, not oxycodone, oxytocin. The love hormone. That's what it's called. Singing is one of the best things you can do for your body, mind, soul, and spirit, not to mention those around you. So I'm going to preach pretty quick so we leave some time to sing at the end. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that you put us in this place today. God, whether people are here for the first time on their way to Florida or traveling or whatever, or whether people are here, they've been here for 40 years, would you do something brand new in each of us today? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to go through this song of Mary's a little bit verse by verse. This is from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, Mary said. Mary knew God as Lord. I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. Whatever you want, do it in and through me. She knew the Lord, she knew God as Lord, which means master, which means one who has absolute ownership. She had surrendered her rights to the Lord. She knew God as Theos, as creator, divine creator of everything that exists. She knew God as Savior, the one who was coming to rescue us, bring us out of our mess and back into safety. So Mary here is celebrating God as Savior. Think about this. Before she sees the complete resolution of everything she wants to see, she's celebrating. God, I know you're here. I know it's going to happen. What if we did that? What if instead of waiting until we see what we want to see, we thank God that it's happening? Last week, Mrs. Shank shared a testimony of how for like 10 years she thanked God for the healing in her eyesight. And one day she's on the treadmill and she's like, oh my gosh, I can see perfectly. What if we had a lifestyle of thanking God for what he's done even before we see it while we're waiting? Anybody need anything fixed? Anybody in your body, in your family? Yes, you all do. What if we would thank God? God, I know you're doing something. I don't have to see it to believe it. Thank you for the work you're doing in that invisible dark space. What does that remind you of? A baby in a womb, a seed in the ground. You can't see it, but you thank God knowing something's happening there. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He's been mindful. He sees me. He sees my state. He sees my situation. And that's true for you too. He sees you. He sees you in whatever state you're in. But God seems particularly attentive. He pays special attention to people like Mary. He seems to be partial to people like Mary. Why? Because they are looking to him instead of looking to themselves to save themselves, instead of looking at to everybody else like everybody else is going to fix everything, which they can't. Humble people are looking to God. And because they're looking to God and asking God for help, he's attentive to that. God is especially attentive to people in a state of humility. I have to wonder what Mary would have thought about 30 years later after this moment when her son Jesus becomes super famous. And wherever he goes, huge groups of people are surrounding him. She can't even spend any more time with him. People are coming to him, walking for days just to get close to him. Luke chapter 6 tells a story. It says a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. You're talking 100 miles or so from like Winchester to Stanton. They're all coming to hear Jesus and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. The people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all, almost like involuntarily. Just by being there, power is coming from him and healing them all. Here he is in the most powerful state he has yet been in. And looking at his disciples in the middle of all this, he says, you're blessed, or people should envy you. When the word blessed more accurately is translated, people should envy you. People should envy you when you're poor. People should envy you when you're hungry. People should envy you when you're in grief. In other words, you're not blessed when you're powerful, well, fat, rich, and happy. You're blessed when you're like these desperate, powerless people. Why? Because we are lured into this sense that we have it all together. And when you're sick and you're poor and when you're struggling with all kinds of things, you lose that lie and you remember how desperate you are. That's why you're blessed. You're open then. God can do something because you desperately need it. Only when we surrender being satisfied by the people around us do we have a chance of being satisfied by something outside of this world, that is God. We're all poor, hungry, weak. We just don't always admit it. But man, when we do, we attract the favor of God. God chose Mary because she was humble and open for God to work in and through. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. I will be known as blessed because the God of heaven and earth serves me. Think about that. The God of all that is wants to serve you. That should blow our minds. Jesus, taking off his fancy clothes because he knew he was going to get dirty, gets down and washes the feet of people. A few weeks ago, I was feeling particularly overwhelmed. We were getting ready to have company over, and so I was out in the backyard cleaning up, because guys know the backyard, the outside is what needs cleaned up, not the upstairs bathroom. Who's going up to the upstairs bathroom when you have a guest over? Is that right? These are the different ways we clean when people are coming over, right? So I'm cleaning up outside. It's a disaster from our dogs. And I'm stressed because I have 14 other things I need to be doing. And I'm praying, I'm like, God, would you send me some help? Would you send me some help? And I wasn't just thinking about my yard. I was thinking about my life as a whole. Envisioning, like, maybe one of you, like, coming up to me like, Mike, what can I do for you, you know? Some ridiculous thing like that. And I, as clear as day, I heard the Lord say, I'll be your helper, Mike. That is one of his roles. That is one of his names. He's a helper. He does great things for us. Why the God of everything cares about the specific, unique things that each of us need is amazing. And that results in worship. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is permanent. His compassion has no end from generation to generation for a specific group. That's upsetting, but it is the truth. He gives his mercy to everyone. For God so loved the world, he gave his life up for everyone. But only those who believe in him can access it permanently. His permanent mercy is given to those who fear him, who live in awe of him. The Gospel of Mark tells a story of one evening when Jesus and his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee. And in the middle of the night, this storm comes up, and the boat is being washed over, so it's about to sink. These are fishermen, by the way, so they're normally not easily freaked out. But the boat's about to sink, and somehow Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. So they wake him up, they rebuke Jesus. Don't you care if we die? Anybody ever said that to the Lord? If you're honest. Don't you care if we die? Don't you see this disaster? According to Mark 4:39, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He then said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith after all we've been through?" At this, they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." The wind had stopped. The sea was completely calm. Everything was perfect and calm. And that is what terrified them. The authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the capacity of Jesus, that is what terrified them and made them say, "Who is this God? Even the wind and the sea obey him." This is the state of fear that God wants us to live in. Think about that. That's the state of fear that God wants us to live in. So we walk around every day like, "Who is this God? What is he going to do next?" This is what attracts his mercy and his goodness. Waking every day wide-eyed like, "What are you going to do today, God?" This is what Mary lived like. I think that's part of the reason God picked her. The more we fear God, the less we fear anything else. How awesome to live like that. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. Three times in a row here, in three different ways, Mary recognizes that God rejects the proud, but gives special attention to the humble. The biblical authors of Solomon and James and Peter all say the same thing in differing version. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. His mighty deeds, according to Mary, fit into one of two categories: blessing the humble and frustrating the prideful. Which side do you want to be on? I don't know about you, but I do not want to be on the side of pride. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary has seen God do incredible things throughout her short life. She knew the story of God's people, though. She knew this lengthy history of God always coming through. God comes through, the people celebrate, they walk with God for a little while, then they do stupid all over again. They cry out to God, he rescues them, he delivers them, they celebrate God, and then they go right back to their dumb ways. The people of Israel, the people of God, throughout the scriptures, are just a picture of us, really. That's what we do. And she's seen God do it over and over. He's partial to the humble. He's a servant to the weak. He's a God who does stuff. He's merciful and he's compassionate to those who want him. He's a God who keeps his promises. He's Lord. Will you let him be Lord, master over your Sunday afternoon, over how you spend the rest of this Christmas break, Christmas time? Will you let him be creator of something new in your life? Will you invite him to save you? In closing, can we have a worship team come up here? I want to go back briefly to what happened just before Mary wrote and sang this song. Right before Mary said the words that she sang up here, this is what happened. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready. This is after the angel told her she was going to be pregnant. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt. Which is it? Jumped. The baby jumped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Now check this out. Mary was so full of God, so filled with the Holy Spirit, it impacted everyone around her without her even trying. Fast forward 30 years, Jesus is out there doing this stuff, and the power of God is just going out of him. Even her greeting, "Hey, Elizabeth," did something. The angel Gabriel had told Mary she would be overshadowed by the Spirit. And here we see that overshadowing resulting in her being overfilled with the Spirit so profoundly that babies dance in bellies, grown women start going crazy, old grown women start shouting when she walks in the room. And that's only the beginning. You watch the rest of Mary's life. That being filled with the Holy Spirit is what allowed Mary and like two other people to stand and guide her son through his death on the cross. She stood there. You want to talk about mothering? Mary stood at the crucifixion, eyes locked with her son. This is the power of the Spirit. We are so much more desperate for the power of the Spirit than we have any idea of. We just get hard-hearted and we think we know how to live and we just don't. God wants to overshadow and fill every one of us in a similar way. And we don't know how bad we need it. You know, we're all facing turning points this week, every single one of us. Some are small and some are huge. We're waiting for all kinds of news. People in this room, I know you. You're waiting for certain deals to come through. You're waiting for certain colleges to send you acceptance letters. You're waiting for certain lab results to come back, hopefully good. You're waiting to get pregnant. You're waiting to get married. You're waiting for that job to come through. You're waiting for your house to sell. And while you're waiting, the Spirit is there. He's just like, "Let me fill you up. Let me overwhelm you more than all of the other things that are trying to overwhelm you." And I'm telling you, don't be afraid of the Spirit. He won't make you do things that will embarrass you. That's one of the big fears of people. They're like, "Well, if I get filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll be weird like that person over there." Not necessarily. Really, really not necessarily. A lot of times, a lot of that is just people acting out. Not always, but sometimes. The Spirit wants to fill you for the purposes of God, which are always good. So we're going to sing this new Christmas song. It's not a Christmas song, but it should be. I call it a Christmas song. It's called "Rest on Us." And can we all stand? I just want to encourage you. You can leave here today filled with the Spirit in a brand new way. And I want you to sing it, especially if you sing bad. I want you to sing this thing out loud. Sing it over each other. Sing it over all the people who are sick. sing it over all the people that don't know God, that are afraid of God in the wrong way to be afraid of God. I'll close this here in a few minutes. Isn't that a great Christmas carol? So, could we have a ministry team come forward? We would love to pray with anyone for any reason. Our ministry team is awesome. You will be blessed if you come forward for prayer. We have to stack the chairs. Oh, second service. No. You don't want to do it now, too? Sorry, it was in my notes. Don't stack the chairs. I just want to keep singing that Christmas carol, but, you know, we have to do things. Let me just pray blessing over you all. God, fill us with your Spirit this Christmas. Don't let us go into 2023 the same as we entered 2022. God, I pray that you would take whatever tiny little bit of sincerity that we each have about you being all we want. No matter how tiny that truth is, would you honor it for every person in here? Would you fill us with your presence so that wherever we go, people see you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you all. Have a great day.